It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Duke will dribble the clock away. 4 seconds left to go. Proctor lets out a yell, and so does the Duke crowd. In just the third year after Coach K, Duke is returning to basketball's biggest stage. He won an NCAA title as a player. He won an NCAA title as an assistant. And now John Shire is bringing this Duke team to the Final Four as the head coach.
Thank you to the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network for the final call. And now Duke is just one of the 4-1 seeds, Pearl, that marches on to the Final Four. We're all chalk here. And we're asking, are you taking Duke or the field?
I'm taking Duke just because I at least going to get some. I bet on Duke already. I got to get something out of this because to see Duke be good is just painful to me as a college basketball fan. I'm one of the many, many, many Duke haters. I've hated this program for 30 years since Christian Laettner.
Yeah. Well, you put in the time. So, but meanwhile, you are betting on them and you do think they're going to win. I'll take the field here. We have yet to see Duke really tested in a close game, clearly, in this tournament. You know, it was a bit close at a moment with Arizona, and then obviously they went on to win. Alabama, you know, even without Cooper Flagg playing his best game, they hold Alabama to under 70 points. Meanwhile, Alabama had just scored 113 against BYU the game before. They've been impressive. I don't think they're unbeatable, but the real question beyond Duke of the field, which you're welcome to answer, how much credit are you giving to John Shire, the Duke head coach? Do you find that this is impressive? 3 years after Coach K retires, he's got the team back in the Final Four. Or is this just the Duke program rolling along, the juggernaut, the machine that just kept being fed?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is as impressive as John Shire is. I do think a lot of guys could lead this Duke team to the Final Four. A lot of those former coaches, especially if you have Cooper Flagg on your team.
Is it a given the Cooper Flagg would have came to Duke even if John Shire wasn't there? I mean, these are questions we just don't know, and I doubt we're ever going to get the answer to that.
Duke has gotten many of the biggest stars the sport has seen in recent years. I mean,
so is Kentucky, and so is UNC.
Well, see, Duke seems has gotten Zion, who is the closest thing to Cooper Flagg. Who else? Duke had Paolo Banchero. Yeah, actually, I mean, I think that it's not a surprise. Duke has gotten the biggest star before. I think Cooper Flagg, for some reason, I don't know. I would think Cooper Flagg would eye Duke, regardless of who the coach was.
listen, it's possible that just the biggest stars are going to continue to go to Duke, but it's not like Duke had no competition or has no competition. No, North Carolina was right there in terms of getting recruits with Duke. Kentucky, right there. I just think that in this new world of NIL, I don't know if the mystique of Duke is going to end up meaning the same thing. And I'd say that ditto to all of these top college programs. You know, at some point, if it's just about the money, is it just about the money? And, you know, maybe for some people or legacies, like Carlos Boozer's kids are going to go to Duke next year. All right, well, that makes sense because Boozer went to Duke. But how much longer before Notre Dame still holds a place for football? And how much longer before, you know, Ohio State holds a place? Or do you just go to the place that's offering you the most money? Boom, there it is.
But I would think it's not, it's a related issue that Duke can generate a lot of money. I think that they can pay, Duke football is actually paying a lot of money. I think Duke should be one of the richer schools, so they should be, they shouldn't have be outspent by anybody.
Yeah, but I mean, there are, listen, I'm sure there's a lot of Wall Street money with Duke. We talked about before the Nike money that floods into Duke, but there's oil money with the Texas schools. Like there's Silicon Valley money in the on the West Coast. There's lots of places that have money. I mean, and obviously Nike, like Oregon's not going to, no team is going to benefit more than the University of Oregon when it comes to Nike.
Well, I think we're talking about two things here. I mean, the reality is they got a killer class this year, obviously, an all-time incoming class. And the fact that he's winning with young guys is impressive. But who's more impressive? A guy like Todd Golden, who's taking a team with maybe a couple NBA players, but not all-timers like Cooper Flagg and Colin Knipple, not lottery picks. I think not lottery picks. Maybe there's a guy or two. But generally, to me, like when you think of what's impressive as a coach, to take a team that doesn't have as much talent and take them all the way, that's like the hardest job for a coach. I'm not sure Shire's ever going to get credit for that at Duke. It'll always be he's a Duke coach. He's never going to be the guy who takes the lesser program.
But did we give Coach K a lot of credit?
Yeah, but Coach K took over nothing.
He
took over.
Built it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think that for Shire, I think he deserves credit here. I really do. I don't think it's ever a given that you take over for a legend and all of a sudden it's going to be as seamless because you're not that guy. And I think Shire is changing the program just a little bit to make it his own. And I will probably continue to change it because I think you have to. Like Coach K, this is a different, totally different era in NIL and transfer portal.
Right. But I do think that, again, I think it's going to be hard for him to come out of Coach K's shadow. I just think it's a huge shadow. It's a lot of national titles. He's going to have to win a lot of games there to be considered totally on his own. For example, say Florida won this year, then boom, Todd Golden's there. As people would be like, well, that guy's a factor. I'm not sure. Even if Shire wins, I just don't think he's going to get the same kind of credit that, say, Danny Hurley got. That's how I think. I mean, Danny Hurley just seems like a coach's coach. To quote himself, I am the best bleeping coach in this game.
Yeah, just ask him how great of a coach he is. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Are you giving credit to John Shire, or is this just the Duke program continuing to roll? Meanwhile, took less than a week, and we already have controversy in Major League Baseball. And Perloff, thy name is the torpedo bat. Now, if you heard a little bit about this, the Yankees scored 20 runs on Saturday against the Milwaukee Brewers. And it's kind of been an open secret. I don't know if anyone was really hiding it, that some of the Yankees players, five of them thereabouts, including Anthony Volpe, their shortstop, has changed bats. So essentially what the torpedo bat is finding the sweet spot for where a hitter likes to make contact with the ball and making that the fattest part of the bat. So if you look at it, they look kind of weird, right? It looks a lot different, you can see, but it's not making the overall bat heavier. It's just changing the distribution of the weight. Do you think this is cheating?
Nope. I've read the rules. It is not cheating.
Right. So Major League Baseball has come out and said the bats don't break any rules. Do you guys want the MLB rule?
Let's hear it.
3.02. A bat shall be smooth, round stick, not more than 2.61 inches in diameter at the thickest part, and not more than 42 inches in length, one solid piece of wood. It said experimental bats can't be used, quote, until the manufacturer has secured approval from Major League Baseball of its designs and methods of manufacture. That's where I thought this might get hung up. I wasn't sure if baseball went through and vetted this whole thing. But meanwhile, it was a former MIT physicist who was on the payroll of the New York Yankees back in 2018 until last year, who is now a member of the Miami Marlins, who came up with this idea. If you're wondering, no, Aaron Judge isn't using the bat.
Yeah.
But, nothing to see here.
But apparently Giancarlo Stanton did change the bat a little bit, and he had alluded to the fact that this might be the reason why he has double tennis elbow. So, anyway.
I think the big issue is, do other teams try and ban it, like the NFL's trying to ban the tush push, or do other teams just say, all right, give me those bats? And the MLB would maybe like all the home runs and say, yeah, we have no problem if you want to switch to torpedo bats. And then I was talking to Andrew Bogus about this, the logistics of bringing in a bunch of torpedo bats midseason, having guys to have to adjust their swings, let alone, he told me there was a wood supply chain issue.
Is that right?
I think he made it up, but I totally bought it. Yeah, just like
getting them from Canada? Uh-oh.
The paperwork about getting all these new torpedo bats into all these other programs. I mean, it'd be a crazy change to all of a sudden see all the success with the Yankees in the opening weekend.
Can't even believe it.
And 29 other teams would say, bring in a bunch of torpedo bats. I mean, we're talking a lot of processing and shipment forms to fill out, Maggie.
I love this. Do you think that somehow the Louisville Slugger people are going to be like working overtime?
Somebody in the back office of the Kansas City Royals is super annoyed right now at the torpedo bat.
It's like the Lucy and Ethel on the conveyor belt, on the assembly line with all these bats coming through. I don't think it's like that. I think that the players are really hesitant to switch things up in the middle of the season, especially if Stanton is out here saying, or implying, that he may have gotten hurt because of this, the distribution of the weight of the bat. He thinks may have torn a ligament in his elbow. I don't know if it's going to be the sensation sweeping the nation type of thing.
So maybe does that mean they don't have to do anything about it because other teams will not pick it up?
So here's my question about whether or not, because I think you're right, two options here. Either Major League, people complain to Major League Baseball and they ban it, or everyone starts doing it. We act like the pitchers don't have a say. You know, pitchers are a very big part of the players' union. They always have a say, and there are some really influential pitchers who are really high up in the players' union, which, as we know, is the strongest union of all sports unions.
Well, how come the pitchers have let every rule help offense over the last 30 years then?
I think there were some. They really fought pitch clock. I mean, Well, I get it, but the commissioner basically had to overrule that. They stopped collectively bargaining that stuff.
Well, any rule that helps offense seems to get through.
Lately, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think that's the thing. MLB wants the home runs, and I think that'll overwhelm anything. Why wouldn't they want it?
Well, I think the pitchers are starting to get a little ticked off, and I don't know if it's going to show itself here, but you're already seeing, you know, the huge contracts. Some of them for pitchers are kind of going by the wayside. They don't let pitchers and starting pitchers go as deep as they used to in games.
Right.
We lament that all the time. You know, a third time through the lineup, you basically have to be freaking Nolan Ryan to get a third time through the rotation, through the lineup. And you know, I wonder if pitchers are going to all of a sudden say, like, come on, you know, now you're going to mess with the bat. We haven't tested this. We haven't gone through anything. And, you know, this physicist from MIT can come up with this idea. Now Anthony Volpe is going to jack 30 home runs. Like, I don't know if he's going to, but that would be, if I'm Max Scherzer or Verlander, or one of those guys who's really influential, I might have something to say about this.
Well, I think the real trend, I mean, MLB is very responsive to that of fans. They're tired of getting destroyed in ratings, and they say, we're going to give the fans what they want, and they're very aggressive about it now. So definitely more home run. Nobody's paying to see a pitcher. Everyone's paying for the home run. So to me, the MLB will turn the other cheek. I think they're going to say, I'd be surprised. What was the spider tack you mentioned to me earlier, that they banned that midseason?
Yeah.
If this is just creating home runs, I think baseball offices love the home runs.
I'm sure they do. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Yeah, you remember the spider tack. That was the sticky stuff. Garrett Cole and some others were accused of using it. And what the pitchers were kind of saying was, listen, when the weather's cold, we actually need this for control, and it's actually better for the batters that we're not basically hitting them all the time. But it created so many revolutions on the ball. You know, it was this crazy velocity plus spin. It was unhittable. Yeah, EJ.
I'm questioning with Perloff, what happens if they do allow these bats and then these see home runs jump? Are we going to then look back like we did with the steroid era and be like, oh, these stats aren't legitimate?
No.
Because that's baseball's biggest thing for the last 15, 20 years has been what's legitimate and what's not legitimate. Like, we have guys who have bats that look like bowling pins up there swinging, hitting home runs. Yeah. Are we going to look at this and say, well, this is nice and all, but it's not real. Hank Aaron didn't play with a you know, a torpedo bat. Like Willie Mays didn't play with a torpedo bat. Just like we said, those guys didn't have access to steroids.
Yeah, I think we've already given up on the home run numbers. I think that it's a done topic to a lot of fans. Like, they don't care like they used to about the home run numbers. Now it's just give me a bunch of home run. I don't think the sacredness of I think that already died, didn't it? A lot of fans don't consider Barry Bonds a home run king because the steroid era. I just don't think it really matters anymore. I think that Band-Aid's already been ripped off.
Well, people were really into Aaron Judge, though, breaking that American League home run record.
Yeah. The American
and
League
then you
home
had
run
the
record.
Live ball a few years ago.
Yeah, the not juice many baseball.
People, right. People
they deny that, by the way. As far as I remember, Rob Manfred has continued to deny that those baseballs were juiced.
And the home run numbers support that they were juiced.
Oh, it was insane.
And of course, you know, the Astros, right? Like, we talk about them and how much they cheated and how much, you know, those numbers are fugazi because they were banging trash cans, allegedly. Like, it's
stealing
something. Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, we could say that we don't care, but I feel like people have cared about other issues when it comes to guys and performance enhancers.
But baseball,
cheating or not cheating.
But don't you think baseball is more concerned about ratings and ratings would be better with higher home runs?
I agree. I think the steroid era was awesome. As someone who lived through the steroid era as a kid, like that was, and I think we should celebrate those guys still. That's me.
That's why they didn't ban. That's why they turned the other cheek. And by the way, everyone who thinks, I'm not naming anybody, but I mean, guys are pretty big these days. That's all I will say. They are not small baseball players.
Yeah.
To say that they're all clean, like I wouldn't be clean. Heck, I would, I'm sure there's an easy way to, I would go through the minors and take all kinds of drugs.
People are still getting popped every now and then. I just think at some point, though, you know, listen, you ban the shift. You've created a pitch clock. The bases are bigger. We're doing everything for the offense.
I mean, the fences are pretty short.
A lot of short porches.
Yeah, we're worshiping the home run. We're bringing the home run back. Rob Manfred's been on a victory tour all spring. He said all these things to help baseball.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the torpedo bat, is that a bridge too far for you? So again, it's the sweet spot, which is a little bit closer to your hands. So you're bringing the sweet spot down in the bat, making that the thickest part of the bat, and it looks kind of silly.
I wonder if the Yankees play into the soup. We were talking about Duke all day. There are a lot of Yankee haters, and maybe it's a way to be, you know, if it was a different team, if it was the Oakland A's or whatever, wherever the A's are, if it was another team.
Sacramento.
You know, would we care as much if the Mariners were changing their bats? So, I think the Yankee hate is a factor here, too.
Agree. So apparently Cody Bellinger said that the Cubs had access to this too. So it's not just the Yankees. I think if Aaron Judge was using this, then people would be like, wait a minute, hold on. But it's Volpe and, you know, it's not any of their huge home run hitters. But they're also not saying it's just to hit home runs. Let's be clear about this. The torpedo bat, which is thicker at the sweet spot, is also Volpe saying to foul off pitches, keep at bats alive. He's not even necessarily saying it's for me to hit home runs. He just wants to, you know, this is a guy who's had a sub 700 OPS, you know, in 2 years. Like he was great in the postseason, but he's like hanging on to this job. So he wants to just be able to foul off pitches, make pitchers work harder. Again, I think you're going to hear from the pitchers on this.
Trevor McGill, who was the Brewers pitcher in one of those games, basically said that he thinks the Yankees are going to get away with this because they're the Yankees. Perloff's point. He thinks that MLB's going to let it slide because people want to see the Yankees hit home runs and be great.
888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. What do you think about the torpedo bat? You love it? You hate it? Let's get to the phones. Our buddy, Nick in Texas, who is the proprietor of Pearl Jam Season 4, the Maggie and Perloff Show men's basketball bracket, is on the line. Good morning, Nick. You got an update for us.
Good morning, Maggie. Good morning, Perloff. Shout out, Weedos and coffee drinkers. We have made it to the final four. So, yes, are you ready for some updates?
Lay it on.
Let's go, Nick.
All right. So, majority of you are obviously still alive because you all have Florida or Auburn. We won't talk about the one that took the one that's not in there. But let's start from the bottom. We got Andrew Bogish at 104th place. Coming right behind him, we have EJ in the 99th. After EJ, we have Manny in 91st. And then we have Maggie, who's dropped a little bit to 83rd. And now Perloff has made a little push. She's made it up to 67th. But Perloff's wife has made it to 31st place.
Whoa, Sarah.
And of course, Sarah, yes, in 31st place. And then, of course, we still have Andrew Kaplan up there at second place with Florida.
And Nick, where are you, sir?
I'm still down at the bottom. I'm down there, I think, right around 155th, but I do have Houston, and I have three of the four of the final four still alive. So, you know, I'm still in the mix, I guess you could say. Not really, but...
How can you be that? Then, you have three or four teams, and you're down near last place? How is that possible?
Oh, man, everything else was just a horrible pick, I guess. I don't know. But I have Florida, Auburn, and Duke, or... no, Houston, yes.
I'd hope you'd have Houston, because you're based out of Houston, so that it would be sacrilegious not to take the Cougs.
Correct. And then our leader, of course, for the bracket is Jared Blackwell, who got Florida.
You know, Nick, I think we're representing ourselves okay in this tournament. And the only reason I say that is because Andrew Kaplan has been holding steady in either first or second place throughout this entire thing. So we really have Cap to thank for making sure the show didn't embarrass itself, but I think we're all doing a good job.
I got hurt yesterday. I was in the 30s, Nick, and then I lost both games yesterday. I had an angle to get into the top 10, but I don't know why Maggie let me pick Michigan State.
That was my bad, too. Nick, thank you for the update, sir.
Have a great week.
Thanks, Nick.
You too, and we'll check in with Nick again.
I kept waiting for all four losing teams this weekend. I was waiting for the run. I'm like, the run's going to come. Even Tennessee started to hit a couple shots, and the run just never came. The number one seeds would just shut them down. The job that Duke did defensively on Alabama, we were texting about it this weekend. Yeah. Dear God, that was crazy. They were all over them.
You know, little did we know that Duke is number one in the country in adjusted offense. They're number fourth in the country in adjusted defense. They are awesome. And they're tall. You know, they're the tallest team left in the tournament. They're really good three-point defenders. And then they got a 7'2 guy in the middle.
I think that's why Shire's done such a great job. Because it's hard to get young guys to defend the way they do. And I know, you know, Malawach makes it easier because he's such a great rim protector. But all five guys are pretty much plus defenders out there.
Flagg's a really good defender.
I think that's what makes him a special player. We talk about his offense, but he's a guy who can guard four positions, and he's an excellent shot blocker.
I know. So they got – and by the way, this whole idea that I've been hearing a lot about this, Con Knipple came in, and he's like, he's just a shooter. He's just Jimmer Fredette. He's big and physical too. I mean, he's pushing guys around. But then again, Houston, that – remember early in that game, it was – oh, my God. Every rebound, it felt like they were just attacking the ball. Five guys going after it. They're physical, too. It's going to be great.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Two questions out there for you. One, are you giving John Shire credit for this Duke run to the Final Four 3 years after Coach K retired? Or is this just the Duke program, the machine?
Duke being Duke.
Eating everything in its path. And then secondly, the new torpedo bat in Major League Baseball, redistributing the weight in the bat to get the sweet spot as the thickest part. Is that cheating? 888-710-4ISN.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
All right. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show, M&P 500. Every Monday we do whose stock is up and whose stock is down, mostly in the sports world. Maggie, why don't you get us started?
Okay. My stock up is going to go for Jahni Broom. Jahni Broom had an all-time game yesterday for Auburn where he got so allegedly hurt on this one play. You couldn't even tell, was it his ankle? Was it his knee? Was it his elbow? Was it the shoulder? All these different things could have been wrong with him. His parents came out of the stands. He has seemed to mouth the words, I'm done, goes back to the locker room. And then Pearl, 5 minutes later, here he comes, out back on the court. Not only that, hit a big three, and Auburn was able to hold off Michigan State. It was a really big moment in the game, and Jahni Broom, who is amazing, we all know it, but an all-time tournament moment yesterday.
Yeah, you actually tweeted something interesting. It was referred to as a Willis Reed moment, both during the game and after the game. Yeah. Tracy Wolfson said that. People don't... Does everyone know what the Willis Reed moment is? Even if, of course, you weren't there for Willis Reed.
No.
I thought it was somewhat universal, but I'm not sure.
I don't think kids today would know it because it happened in 1969,
right? Right. But I don't think it's sort of the name Willis Reed in the moment seemed to last way longer than anyone knowing what the heck happened.
It's like getting Wally pipped
Yes, what, exactly. Like some Wally names Pipp. Last longer, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know the situation with Wally Pipp. I have no idea.
It was Mickey Mantle, wasn't it?
No,
it was Lou Gehrig. Lou Gehrig, pardon me. Yeah. All right, guys, that was...
No, again, I don't even really know, is Wally Pipp a good player? I just know Wally Pipp.
Yeah,
you say it. I think Willis Reed might be a little bit like that, where even if you don't know the situation, you know that name. Anyway, okay, my stock up. I'm going to my favorite golfer. Of course, Minwoo Lee, who I fell in love with in the Netflix documentary. What's it called? Top Golf? No, that's a place.
Full swing.
No, Top Golf is where you go to get drunk and go on the golf simulator.
So Minwoo Lee is an Australian golfer, has a sick mustache, and he's the hot young guy. Everyone's waiting for him to win a major, and he could do it soon. He looked really good yesterday, and he held off my other favorite golfer, who's Gary Woodland, who had this terrible brain surgery, and no one thought he would ever come back, and he's coming back. So anyway, MW Lee is the guy. We'll see if he can win a Masters. It'd be good for golf. He's got a lot of young buzz to him.
Yeah, people like the Riz. How would you describe this mustache?
It's
people might not know him. Might think you're talking about something like a handlebar or something.
No, it's like kind of thin.
Yeah,
but it works for him. I can't even just like it wouldn't work for most of us.
Yeah. Have you ever tried to grow a mustache? I can't even imagine.
I've had mustaches before. Yeah, I kind of looked like
Tom Selleck.
No. Like the opposite of Tom Selleck.
Like
go 180 degrees.
How many question marks? Tom Selleck.
How would you describe
famous mustaches? Do you look like Keith Hernandez? Like I don't know who else is famous for this.
Yeah, mine didn't look good. It was not good.
You look like a bank robber.
But for Minwoo Lee, he's got a mini mullet, and he's always had this mustache since he was a junior golfer at age 6. No, I don't know, but it works for him. Yeah, it wouldn't work for any of us. It's like. Pencil. What's it called?
Pencil thin?
Yeah, it's not good.
Anyway.
But yeah, he's really cool to watch. And if he does shows up at the Masters, that'll be a lot of fun.
From Perth, Australia. Okay, my stock down. Stock goes up. Stock's got to go down. Can I just do it? This is a personal one away from the sports world for a second. Enough with hitting people for speeding tickets on the cameras. How dare you?
Ruh-roh.
I got away with it. No cop pulled me over. No cop even saw me. I got two tickets the other day. Two tickets in a week. 2 days apart. And I was going 11 miles over the speed limit. Come on. 15-mile grace period. I wasn't
not
in a
two,
school.
Not three. Not four.
You. I wasn't in a school zone. It was 5 o'clock in the morning as I'm racing to get here.
Oh, no.
This wasn't during the sickness?
No.
Those cameras are on at 5 a.m?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I got in trouble because in the cameras, like, I just feel like that's cheating by the cops. You didn't catch me.
What?
Yeah, the camera caught me. That's crap.
The camera's the cop.
Dude, no, we're not doing all-knowing eye in the sky Big Brother stuff. You can use that to catch a bank robber and a purse snatcher and all that stuff. But I was going 11 miles over the speed limit. Like, I made it. You can't get me after the fact. I didn't run a red light.
We're not doing this. This has been around for a little while.
Yeah.
I got two tickets in 1 week, and they were both $60.
Offers you know, a photo on the job.
60, first of all, $60 for a speeding ticket?
Yeah. That seems heavy.
That is incredible. A speeding ticket in New York City is $250.
Because these ones, they can't tell who's driving.
Yeah.
So you don't get points either.
Yeah, but the key is you don't get points. But no. Actually, even a camera speeding ticket is 3 times that much in New York. Have you guys gotten pulled over in the city?
I mean, I got one recently for doing... There's a school zone outside Fordham. Now, those are college kids. They should know how to cross the street by now.
Oh, now suddenly we're every man for himself. But if it's storming the court...
No, then... I'm saying, like, I was doing like 33 and a 25, and I got banged for $60. I think that's like the camera ticket rate
in New York City. Yeah, my wife got one in Rockaway. It was huge.
Was she doing 85?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
she can't go Mad Max.
Wait. Hold on. 33 and a 25.
Whatever it was, I was not by no definition was I speeding, but in the school zone, the threshold's like 25. So maybe I was doing 38 and a 25. It was comical.
So, meanwhile, be careful. Two tickets in 1 week.
I once got a ticket for not turning my right ticker on. For turning right and not having my ticker on. That was somebody trying to meet a quota.
It's just crazy.
Yeah,
anyway.
But you didn't get points.
Down.
Thank God. If you got
$120 bucks in a week for tickets.
Yeah, if it was an actual cop, you'd have a suspended license by now. I think two tickets would be 6 points. Oof. Okay. My sack down is, this is not just, it's not their fault, but Ole Miss's buzzer beater to cover the spread the other day against Michigan State. This is the second time this tournament there's been a last-second three-point heave to affect the spread. There was also UConn and Florida. This is just, I just feel bad for everybody out there. There is nothing worse when you think you have the bad one, and then someone hurls up a three-pointer just to pad their box score. I don't know if there's anything to be done about this, but I felt every second of that bad beat, and my Twitter feed was loaded with people who got killed by that.
That was a tough one. All right, what, do we have time for one more quick round?
Sure.
Stock up for me is fan and media conspiracy theories. Stock up. Turns out the Lakers investigated what started off as a fan conspiracy theory that more players who've been out suit up to play against the Lakers. And again, John Moran had just missed six games and then came back to play against the Lakers.
Sure.
Luka complained about it. JJ Redick complained about it. And they said they had the analytics department look into it. It turns out they might be right. According to Redick, it looks like 86% of opposing payroll has been available to playoffs this year, which is by far the number one in the league.
Makes so much sense, right?
You know, yeah, Knicks fans have been complaining about this too for the Knicks. I think it's a real thing to that.
Yeah.
For sure.
These people want to play in the Garden.
Exactly.
So, again, not real conspiracy theories like the dangerous Aaron Rodgers ones. Mm-hmm. Sports conspiracy theories, fan and media. Two thumbs up. Keep them coming. You're paying attention. Just as much as the Lakers front.
I mean, some of us old enough remember when actually everybody played every game. There was no big deal. And it wasn't like a pick and choose.
Tell us about
league.
It, Grandpa.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember Allen Iverson saying, oh, we're in the Garden. I suit up tonight. He went at 100% every single game. NBA sticks.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to do a stock. Wait, was that a stock up or stock down?
It was up.
Why is that up?
Up for fans.
Because she's a conspiracy theorist. So
yeah,
she likes when they're real.
Okay. Can I just do the down, this craziness about the tush push? The idiot coaches saying things like trying to say it's injuries and nothing when we all know they just are afraid of the Philadelphia Eagles and they should keep the tush push. I am so down on the NFL right now. I can never remember where there's been less of a rationale for banning a play that they're going to ban. Okay. Tuesday morning's a vote.
Can I just go flip side here? Just run the QB sneak. You don't think Jalen Hurts can just run the QB sneak? Of course he can.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so who do you care?
We're talking about a 94% conversion rate versus 92%. Tom Brady never got caught. You know, I always wonder, why do teams not run a QB sneak? I just don't understand. It's not that much of an injury risk. I know Mahomes got hurt once.
I think for as much as the complaining about the Eagles and the fans, I understand because it looks like sour grapes, but also just Jalen Hurts is still going to squat 500 pounds. He's still going to be able to do the QB sneak. You're going to be fine.
Then why are they banning it?
People hate it and hate the Eagles. Okay.
That part.
M&P 500, a little stock up, stock down on a Monday. Andrew Bogus has headlines for us. What's up, folks?
Well, there's a microphone. First, there was Aaron Rodgers going to Steeler headquarters two Fridays ago. Now reports of a weekend throwing session between Rodgers and new Steelers receiver DK Metcalf. Mike Tomlin broke down his meeting with Rodgers like only Mike Tomlin could this morning at league meetings in Florida.
He's been in this thing a long time. I've been in this thing a long time. But it's no substitute for, you know, intimacy and spending time together and getting to know one another in a non-competitive environment.
Did they have a Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy sleepover?
Honestly, I wouldn't say this because your wife could now use this against you anytime you cancel dinner, cancel plans, forget date night.
It's nothing like intimacy.
There's no substitute for intimacy.
In a non-competitive environment?
Exactly. He just wrote his own ticket right to the doghouse.
Tomlin adding that he has no issue with his QB room being unsettled this time of year. He has no deadline in mind for a Rodgers decision. He is also a member of the competition committee, and he, much to Pearl's chagrin, has said he has an open mind about banning that tush push. Meanwhile, Tomlin and Sean Payton do not like the proposal to change the playoff format, saying winning your division, it needs to remain important. As you probably heard by now, for the second time ever, we have got all four one seeds in the men's Final Four Houston, then Auburn joining Duke in Florida yesterday. The Cougars with that 69-50 submission of Tennessee and Indy. And then the Tigers held off Michigan State 70-64. But the headline from that game remains Jahni Brooms seemingly avoiding a major right elbow injury. He was hurt on a nasty fall midway through the second half, missed 5 minutes of game time, then returned to drill a three, finishing with 25 points and 14 boards. Tom Izzo happy he never has to face Broom again.
He was 10 for 13. That's why he's an All-American. That's why he's a Player of the Year candidate. And, did a hell of a job.
Broom is now Florida's problem. The Gators and Tigers play the first game in San Antonio Saturday. Then it's Duke and Houston. The women complete their Final Four tonight. Texas TCU, then UConn USC. Yesterday, South Carolina made the national semifinals for the fifth consecutive season, 54-50 over Duke, and UCLA topped LSU 72-65 for the first Final Four spot in program history. The Houston Rockets thumped the Suns last night, 148-109 in Phoenix. They've now won 12 of 13. The Suns, meanwhile, fall two full games behind the Mavs for the last spot in the play-in, and Kevin Durant left in the third last night with a sprained left ankle.
Do we see him again this season? Probably not, right?
I think we would, unless there's like a real significant injury. Meanwhile, another good night for the Sixers, 127-109 losers to the Raptors. Philly has the fifth worst record in the NBA this morning.
Yes. Let's go.
The Pittsburgh Pirates are good at least one thing this season.
2-1. That kicks away from Rodriguez. Hill breaks for the plate. There will be no throw. And on a wild pitch, the Marlins walk it off again. What a weekend in Miami. And what a start to the season for these Fighting Fish.
Yeah, but not the Pirates. They are the first team since the Pirates in 1924 to lose their first three games in walk-off fashion. Those Fighting Fish, meanwhile, are the first team in 22 years to get their first three wins in walk-off fashion. Nick Pivetta and two Padre relievers face the minimum in a 5-0 win over the Braves on Sunday Night Baseball. That's a four-game sweep for San Diego, Atlanta's worst start in 4 years. And Denny Hamlin won the NASCAR Cup Series race at Martinsville, win number 6 for him at that track, but the first in 10 years. Guys, back to you.
I just want to say thank you to the chat for being undefeated on this one. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. I'm complaining about the fact that I got two speeding tickets by camera. I wasn't pulled over. I just got caught by a camera going 11 miles an hour over the speed limit at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I like that, to be fair, those huge feet probably hammer the gas pedal. And Maggie should fight it. Your Honor, look at these feet. It's hard not to speed. I do have extremely large feet for someone my size.
It's a disability.
Do you have insanely strong calves from flexing those feet?
I do.
Okay. Yeah, to lift those feet off the brakes
and
off
them down on the pedal.
And I do one pedal driving, so it's just 1 foot. That's just got...
You have like Saquon Barkley calves.
Calves are amazing. Really good calves. Just because the feet, my ankles was really strong.
We would be able to do tush push with Maggie, but it'd be an HR violation, I believe.
I'm telling you, if it was just a battle of whose feet could get in the right spot, mine already are. They're in every spot. It's
just basically, if Maggie's anywhere near, if her body's anywhere near the first down mark, her feet will be over the line. But I guess it's where the ball...
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All is.
I have tremendous balance because I'm basically walking on surfboards.
What about kicking your opponent, your teammate across the line for a first down with your big feet? Just put him on the Saquon's rear end.
I like it.
Push him across.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So yeah, fair. I am a little heavy on the pedal because of my gigantic feet.
Love it.
Yeah, folks, thank you. Coming up, lots more to do, including, we got an update about from our favorite college football coach and some more football for you. It's M&P.
Daily.
Do you believe that?
Dion.
You believe that?
Welcome back to the Maggie Perloff Show. Get back to the Final Four in a moment, but we missed this on Friday because it happened after the show ended. We want to make sure we salute Deion Sanders, Pearl, who announced a big contract, a new contract, really, with Colorado. 5 years, $54 million. It will make him one of the highest paid coaches in the country. $10 million for 2025 and 26, then $11 million, then $12 million. It goes up and up and up. I think most importantly, though, if you're looking at Sanders, not to be counting down here, but the buyout. So if he bolts for another job before December 31st, 2025, before the end of this year, he has to pay Colorado $12 million. Then that payment goes down to $10 million before the end of 2026, $6 million before 2027, $4, $3 million. As it goes on from there.
So he did say, I want to retire in Boulder, Colorado. I was actually wondering about this. I have to be honest, I've never been to Boulder. Been to Denver many times.
Yeah.
But people say Boulder is an awesome place to be. It seems like a place he enjoys living. Seems like with NIL, he's doing just fine on the recruiting front. So why not make this I'm not going to say Bobby Bowden because that's a long time, but why not make this a career appointment?
Well, I think there's always that little thing looming out there of, does he want to coach Shador in the pros?
Shador, okay. Coaching his son. I mean, if it wasn't for Shador, I would say he has no interest in the NFL. But you're right that Shador is the little wrinkle.
Shador is the wrinkle that would get him to the NFL. He said it's the only thing that would get him to the NFL. And then the other thing is just a bigger program. You know, Colorado's a great program. It's the Big 12. But, you know, if Deion continues to win, especially after Shador and Travis Hunter leave, you know, when do the other big guns come calling? When does, you know, if Florida State is another down year, do they circle back? I know they said no thanks the first time around, but...
Yeah, and Deion has already gathered some resentments against some of those schools. I think Florida. Does he have an issue with Florida? I can't remember. One of the schools that didn't interview him, he was not happy about. Alabama, I mean, who knows if the Kalen DeBoer thing will work.
Listen, is there, you know, does maybe the pros start calling to Steve Sarkisian? You never know. Listen, it's college coaching,
right? Yeah, you're right.
These things happen. Scandals happen. You just never, ever know what job's going to open
up. But he did get he got the top quarterback, got the top transfer. Well, I don't know, in the top five transfer quarterbacks. He seems to be making Colorado just as major as they need to be. It's not like there's any lack of talent right now.
No, I'm curious to see how both he and Shador do without each other. And without Travis Hunter, who's been there the whole time, who might be like the greatest, one of the greatest athletes since Dion.
Yeah.
So,
every draft analyst is now watching Colorado be like, whoa, Travis Hunter is an amazing wide receiver. I mean, he makes Shador look good often.
He definitely did. Okay, so one other thing quickly. I want to get to the Cleveland Browns, Pearl, because Andrew Berry, their general manager, was speaking yesterday at the big meetings that are going on in Palm Beach. And I didn't even know this was on the table, but he confirmed they're not trying to trade up to number one. Guys, I think number one's off the table. Like, the betting market will tell you. Titans look like they're keeping it. They said, Brian Callahan, the head coach of the Titans, apparently this morning said, we're looking for two more data points, which is, was it Colorado Pro Day, which I don't think they've had yet. And then also a Zoom call with Cam Ward. He's like minus 1600 to go number one overall. So follow the money. So I think
draft markets famously get wrong, though. But remember CJ Stroud and Bryce Young and all that stuff.
I know, but minus 1600, that they're telling you do not bet that.
What was the one? Yeah, they've messed this up before, and you're only allowed to bet like $100 on the draft anyway. But I mean, it's going to be Cam Ward. We know that, but I don't go just on the betting markets. I'll find there's been some real mistakes there.
Okay, well, be that as it may, I don't think the Titans are opening, you know, I don't think they're trading the pick. And then the Browns said, we're open to trade back out of two, like everything's on the table. Didn't say open for business, but just said everything's on the table. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It seems like, unless they're just playing this thing so close to the vest, it feels like the Browns are being very nonchalant about the quarterback thing. They have not been linked to any big trades. You guys know I still think Brock Purdy's a possibility. They have not been linked to any big trades. They didn't do anything in the free agent market. And I'm sorry, waiting for Kirk Cousins does not count as being a big thing.
Why would that not be?
A mid-30s quarterback who's coming off a second year off an Achilles.
Yeah, I mean, but it's something.
Okay, that's the bare minimum. That's not fixing the problem.
It's the same as Russell Wilson. I mean, to the Steelers, it's not that different than Rodgers. It's kind of in that ballpark. Cousins is a very successful quarterback.
That's fine, but nobody thinks these are going to be Super Bowl winning situations here.
No, but their cap is all messed up because of Deshaun. So, yeah, Browns are not going to be able to win a Super Bowl. I think it's interesting that, first of all, two things. They are loving being this mystery team. But to me, the more interesting thing is that they don't seem in love with Shador.
But maybe that's just a misdirection. Maybe they don't want to tip their hand. But the problem is, or not the problem, the thing is, who cares if you tip your hand? No one can do anything. If the Titans are taking Cam Ward, no one jumps you unless you decide they can jump you.
Well, it's probably smart not to give away your draft strategy, even if it's pretty much assumed. I still think there are reasons to keep it close to the vest.
I think also the NFL and the network partners ask teams, don't reveal what it's going to be. They want to keep a little mystery. It is a television product after all. But I just think that if there's no way the Browns can't come out of this draft without a quarterback, right?
But what round are you talking about?
Considering the noise around Sanders, it's very possible. Maybe Dart in the second round, possibly. Or trade back into the first.
And we'll never see that again.
They also might be waiting to see if Abdul Carter can run, because he's still the Vegas favorite to go there. He's supposed to try to run before the draft, coming off that foot issue. And he's saying, his agent says it's a shoulder. Nobody believes that. Anyway, there's a lot going on here.
Nobody believes Drew Rosenhaus? Get out of here.
I just think, there's no Jackson Dart in the second round. But Tyler Shuck in the second round or at the end of the third. That is really interesting to me. But they have drafted old quarterbacks before. It didn't work out that time.
Yeah, I was going to say, want Brandon Weeden 2.0? Have at it.
He feels like they've drafted tall quarterbacks in Derek Anderson. It feels like Tyler Shuck would fit the Browns. I don't know why.
They've drafted every type of quarterback.
You're not buying the Dak rumor?
Yeah, that was shot down pretty good. We did that last week.
Amazing rumor. That's what made me think they're shopping around for somebody.
That's not an amazing rumor. That makes I think they have a $70 million cap hit with Deshaun Watson, and they were going to take on, I don't know how it works, but some huge cap hit with Dak. That's not happening.
That's where we'll have to leave it. I think they're taking Shador second overall.
That'd be pretty fun.
EJ Stewart, thank you. Ray Jarvis, thank you. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos, coffee drinkers, you guys on the phones, phenomenal. We will see you back here mañana. Bye.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.